Draft Time Radio Show, Big Vern, and the one and only. You know, you're like our professional. Like, you are our professional advisor. Can you be that?
I liked that. I liked that in the Facebook post. I was like, our professional advisor, Rebecca.
Yeah, you are. You know, and I want to say that, you know, a lot of times we have had debates, you know, and I wouldn't even call them arguments because I never was upset. And I don't think you were either.
No.
We have had debates. But sometimes I think with radio, it's good to have a debate. Like, if we just sat here and said, hey, my favorite color is green, and you're like, mine is too. Oh, my favorite food is spaghetti, and mine is too. It gets a little boring, you know what I mean? So
it would be, but although I do find it interesting that we don't have a referee in the studio with us today.
Oh, we don't need one. Because we don't, what do we mostly have problems with? NFL.
Right, and you're not watching.
I'm not watching.
I've barely been watching, just mostly because I'm busy.
Yeah.
And, well, your former team is just sucking.
Yeah.
And my team's doing fine.
Thanks for telling me that.
It's laughable, actually.
I figured you would.
I had to
mention that.
I had to throw it out there.
I figured you'd mention that.
Yeah, but no, really, that is really pretty much our sticking point, actually.
Yeah,
yeah. And I don't watch college ball.
And I do.
I like to be surprised when they come up to the NFL.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. I like to watch them in college, and then, you know, be like, "I told you so" when they get there.
I know you do.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I do.
Yes. I'm aware of that.
I know some. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay.
So let's talk about why you are here and why this month is so important. Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yes, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. I should have had purple on, right?
I should too. Yes, purple is the color.
Okay.
Because purple is the color of royalty. Purple is the color of all of those things, but purple is also the color of bruises.
Oh.
So it's kind of a... It's a reminder.
Whoa.
In both ways.
That was deep.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you.
It's the truth. So what we're doing through Columbia Green Domestic Violence, we have a couple of different things going on. Our social media, we have 31 days of hashtag why I stayed, why I left, and why I advocate. And those are local survivors, victims, and advocates telling why they stayed, why they left, and why they advocate. Each day. Mm-hmm. So that's been powerful. We have toothbrushes throughout the counties that we're giving out that have our hotline number on them. And a reminder that sometimes our victims come into shelter without even their own toothbrush. Okay. That they flee with literally just themselves and maybe their children.
Yep.
We have billboards up in the county. We're doing flash photos. Some of you who are on our social media pages may have seen I did a photo in Syracuse at a training that I was at with a bunch of colleagues from community actions from around the state for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I was giving a presentation to them. Mm-hmm. And we did that. So for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we kind of try to keep it real. For next year, we're planning some more kind of outgoing stuff. Walk a mile in her shoes.
Wow.
When we get local men to actually walk a mile in women's shoes.
Wait.
Yeah. But they're designed for men. They're special shoes.
Like heels?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, we had to specially buy them. They're from an agent. They're actually a program, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. It's a fundraising event. Yeah.
I think I've seen something like that in Pittsfield.
Yeah. Pittsfield did it and they're wildly successful with it. Yeah.
I know, but I'm not confident.
Oh, Vern,
enough.
You're going to love it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No,
it's going to be great.
Not.
Nita, don't forget to talk to Vern about this.
No. I will come and support, but I don't want to put on women's shoes.
They're not women's shoes. They're men's shoes.
Well, all right.
Yeah. They're made for men.
With heels?
A little bit. Yeah.
What I saw in Pittsfield.
Listen, it's an object lesson, Vern, and I think it'll be fantastic.
Okay. All right.
So
I'm in. I'm in. I'm sold.
I thought.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be doing that next October. We're starting planning for that in January.
Okay.
We're looking at getting a speakers bureau started of survivors. We recently took part in the National Organization of Women had a speak out at the Hudson Area Library, and several of our survivors chose to come and speak out. And we kind of realized at that moment that it was time to start a speakers bureau, a group of area survivors who were ready at a moment's notice to get together and speak out when that was needed or talk to newspapers when that was needed. So we do have some local survivors who are interested, mm-hmm. and we're going to be putting that together in the coming days.
Will you do me a favor and just for our listeners, just give the definition of what domestic violence is so that everybody is aware of it?
Domestic violence is a pattern of coercive behaviors that one partner uses to create power and control over the other partner. That can include physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, financial abuse, verbal abuse, anything that they do to create, to take control over that other partner. A lot of times it includes isolation, coercion, making someone do something with coercion, making someone do something that might not seem abusive at first. Mm-hmm. But the mere fact that you're making them do it is in and of itself abusive.
And domestic violence isn't just for women.
No,
there are men.
There are male victims. Victims are primarily women. However, we do have male victims of domestic violence. And our domestic violence shelters in Columbia and Greene counties do accept men, women, and children victims of domestic violence.
Do you think that maybe there's more men or male victims that are unreported?
I think there's
ego and pride.
I think there's more male and female victims that are unreported. I think that the vast majority of victims either don't identify themselves as victims, because victim in our society is a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they don't identify it as domestic violence themselves. A lot of times people will even talk to us or talk to one of our advocates and say, no, it was, we both fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, let's talk about, kind of the dynamics of your relationship. And when you start digging with whichever party you happen to be talking to, you find out that the dynamics of the relationship do have a lot of power and control involved by one party or the other. So a lot of times they don't identify it as domestic violence themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of shame associated with coming forward and saying, I've been a victim of this. I'm in this relationship. I don't know how to get out. Or maybe I don't want to get out. I want this person to change. I want to help them change. There's also the factor that if you have children with the person, you're tied to them for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
A hypothetical scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're in a relationship and the female is upset with the male. And they're having an argument, so it's verbal. But she's like, hit me. And she's just really, really, antagonizing them and like, hit me. You won't hit me. You a B, you this. Is she demonstrating, because that would be verbal abuse, right? And it would be emotional abuse ahead of time. I mean, I know he's not supposed to hit her. I know he's supposed to walk away. But, I mean, can a female or vice versa, can a female or male, kind of initiate, the violence before it actually happens and then play the victim?
Well, I would have to say, first of all, that if you're in any relationship where one of you is screaming at the other, hit me, and you're a B and all that stuff, it's already a unhealthy relationship and you shouldn't be in it to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, bottom line.
But that's common.
It is common, which is really kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
I have to be honest.
Yeah.
that's really sad in our society that's common.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be identified as domestic violence on either part? That depends. Is it an ongoing pattern? Is that a one-time event? Is it a one-time event of one person harassing the other? Because the person screaming, hit me, and calling the other person names is harassing the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a one-time event? However, if the party who's being screamed at does strike the one who's doing the screaming, they could potentially be in trouble for assaulting them. But New York State's primary aggressor law says the one who started it is the one responsible.
Oh, okay. How closely is domestic violence and substance abuse or any kind of mental disorder connected? Do they go hand in hand or are they not related at all?
You know what? More frequently, I would say that what comes first is the violence. The substance abuse could follow. The mental health issue could follow. Is a mental health issue something that causes domestic violence? No. I know lots of people with mental health diagnoses who do not commit acts of violence or are or are in unhealthy relationships. Lots of people. I know lots of people who have substance abuse issues who are not batterers or victims.
Well, you know how you know they say, oh, he's an angry drunk. Or, you know, whenever he drinks too much, this is how he gets.
That's one of my favorite excuses.
Yeah.
Because what I say to people, and so Barb and Flo, if you're listening right now, you might want to plug your ears. What I say to people is, listen, I have been known in my life, I've been drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I have been very drunk. It has happened in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, I have never struck another person, beaten the heck out of them, done any of those things. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions. It doesn't change your personality. So if someone has a tendency to be controlling and to be harmful and to be angry, they're going to do that when they're drunk. It's not going to change who they are. Sorry, that's an excuse. That's a crutch.
How about environment, like the way you grew up? Like maybe it's a pattern of what you saw. So you saw this when you were younger, and that's all you know, and that's the way that you saw things like that being dealt with. So that's the way you
tried
to... Could
that be a factor? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know that poem we all read when we were in elementary school, Children Learn What They Live? It's mm-hmm. true. We have to teach our kids better. If you don't want your kid growing up to be in these kind of relationships, you do have to teach them better. We have to do a better job of teaching our children how to have conversations, how to communicate with their partner, how to communicate with their friends, how to be genuinely good, compassionate, empathetic, caring people, how to handle conflict,
mm-hmm.
how to deal with all of these things. If we're not doing that, then we're raising this entitled bunch of little beasts.
Do you guys break it down in demographics? Meaning, is there more domestic violence cases with people who grew up with one parent compared to people that grew up with both parents? Is it more for people that grew up in subsidized housing compared to people that grew up in the middle class, you know? Or
you know what? Our agency doesn't break it up. We don't break it down as to how people grew up.
Mm-hmm.
We broke it. We do take demographics as far as like present education, number of people in the household, that kind of thing. Present day demographics, but we don't take childhood demographics.
Do you off the record, do you think that might play a part in?
We're not off the record. There are a lot of listeners.
No, but I mean, no. You know, they said this is what I learned. I grew up learning this. If you ever say off the record, that means that it's not really on the record. You can, even though we got 77,000 people listening, you could just say off the record.
Nobody can write it down.
No, well, yeah. Well, I didn't really mean it because it was off the record.
Right.
But that was a good comeback. But do you think that that could play a part in a situation like that, if someone, because you know, like when people, the way people have different childhoods and the things that they see, they kind of adapt those habits, and it just grows with them, you know. And if they see it a lot,
are you gonna try to tell me the kids from single family homes?
I'm asking if that's a possibility.
Is it a possibility? I suppose that some researcher somewhere is going to prove something like that. The kids from subsidized housing have no chance of, you know, whatever. I think that's a load of horse crud.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell a child that they have the potential and the possibility to be whatever they can be, and you give a child the opportunity to flourish, they will do it. If you say to a child, you know what? Your childhood hasn't been great, kid, but I expect better from you. Yeah, you saw this go on. However, I don't expect it out of you. If you have honest discussions with your children start to have factors in their lives that help them move forward from those traumas in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We all went through trauma. That doesn't mean that we don't move forward.
Well, I'm only looking at it in the sense of, you know, it's been said that, you know, if someone was molested, they're likely to molest someone. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at it like that, and I'm saying to myself, okay, no way am I condoning domestic violence, but I'm saying it, 'cause some of it be because of your childhood and what you brought up. And I understand what you're saying is, like, if the parent is able to sit down and talk to them, But when you get to the lower classes and stuff like that, and I know it probably happens as you raise up, but when you get to the lower classes, the parents are still trying to figure out how to be parents. These parents are younger now, and I would say
I see that problem more in the higher classes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I gotta tell you that in the lower income classes, I have seen parents way more equipped to say to a professional, "Yo, I got this going on. Could you give me some advice?" Mm-hmm. Whereas someone who's making $100,000 a year is not calling my office and saying, "Hey, Rebecca, my kid is acting like a thug. Could you help?" Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. So I guess I would flip that script a little bit.
Okay.
To the other side of it, do I feel that when you said that molestation thing, my eyes flipped? Okay. Because the other side of it is, I don't believe a kid that's been molested is more likely to molest later in life. See, our kids have high resiliency factors if we immediately get them someone they trust to talk to.
And I don't want to interrupt you, but my thing is that I'm not saying this as I'm saying it.
I've heard
it from other people. So these are the things that people could be hearing.
Right.
And I'm really throwing these things out to you so you could shoot them down. You know what I mean?
And this is the scary thing, is that in our communities, okay, so let's face it, that most of us don't trust the system. And I'll say that to all 77,000 listeners out there. I get it. Find someone who is maybe not in tune with the system that you trust, who can sit and talk with you and your kids. Mm-hmm. Resiliency factors for kids go up exponentially when your kids have someone to talk to. All right, so maybe that person's me. You don't trust the system? Fine. Vern knows me personally. He'll get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. Even if you just want me to sit at 7th Street Park and talk to your kids, I have no problem doing that. Talk to Vern. Your kid having an adult in their life who is not involved in the abuse, just that they can talk to, improves their resiliency factors by like 110%. Just a mentor who can say to that kid, "Listen, this is not all there is to life. You know what? All you have to do in life is be a kid, get through this. This is not how adults are supposed to act. I'm sorry you had to see this. Let's get you through school. Let's get these good grades. Let's get you to whatever you're going to do with life. Military, vocational school, mm-hmm. college. You know what? You can make a difference in this community."
What can you, if you know off the top of your head and you can guesstimate, what are the numbers for Columbia County as far as domestic violence cases? Like, you know, like, what are the range of numbers?
For the past year?
Yeah, we'll go year.
I don't know off the top of my head for the past year.
Do you know 5 years?
Are you kidding me? If I don't know the past year, how would I know last five?
I don't know. I thought maybe you...
Well, I can bring that back with me next Wednesday.
Because I was trying to drive a point. And the thing about it is, like, and I wanted to stay with the youth. Because the thing about it is, like, I agree with everything you're saying, especially the mm-hmm. mentor and stuff like
yeah.
that. And the reason why is because we're at a point right now where we feel that the city isn't putting our youth at the top of the feeding chart.
Yep.
And this is some of the things that are important. Like you are saying, like, hey, if there was a mentor or someone that could talk to these kids, that maybe if they see in bad behavior at home, it could be fixed. So I was kind of trying to drive that point home to say, like, how important it is that domestic violence, it hurts everybody around it, but especially our kids, you know? And that's where I was going with that. So you can help me with that. And make up a number, because I just say off the record. If you say off the record, it don't count.
It does count.
Oh, damn.
No, because it does count. But I can bring it back next week.
Will.
I can bring back the number of new non-residential clients that we served in Columbia County for the past 12 months.
Okay.
I can actually bring back the total for the past 12 months.
Okay.
I hope Barb's listening, so she knows I'm going to hit her for that before next Wednesday.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, Barb.
I met Barb before I met Rebecca.
He did.
I kind of sort of met Barb. I called her.
That was the phone call when Barb said, "Hey, Rebecca, I was going to send your coworker to talk about the NFL. And she said, "I'm not talking about the NFL. And now I'm sending you." Yes. And it is really important to have youth programming and mentoring. And actually, the day that I saw Slay and introduced him to one of my coworkers, the day that I stumbled over his real first name, as we talked about on Facebook.
Yes.
That's what I was approaching him about. I was like, "Listen, we've got to do something. We need to be teaching kids. We need to be mentoring them. We need to be teaching them not only that there are adults they can trust, but teaching them even things like proper etiquette."
Yeah.
You know, just teaching kids to be just human, teaching them compassion and empathy and all of those things. And I just said to him, Slay, how do we do this? We need to do this. We need to do it, even if it's only on a small scale. You know, because we do it with our own kids, but I think we need to reach more kids.
Do you guys have any programs that actually go into the schools, you know, into the higher grades and talk to the kids about it?
We do offer domestic violence prevention presentations in the higher grades. I'm not sure that anyone has taken us up on it in the past year or so.
It would be a good thing for them to take you up on it.
I know.
Yeah.
Because we do have high school age clients. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Earlier we were talking and Tim said the M word. And you said, I want you to explain that a little bit more because let's say you have a teen, you know, and they're going through some things and an episode happens. I don't know what you guys call it. I was going to say off the record, but you told me when I say that, I'm still on the record.
You're still on the record.
I don't want to say
it
anymore.
So the reason I jumped on Tim because he said mistake.
Yeah.
It's because in the domestic violence field, domestic violence, remember that the definition requires that it's a pattern of behaviors. It's not a one-time event. So it's a pattern of behaviors between intimate partners.
So what's considered a pattern? More than once? Or five?
More than once. It's
so if it happened twice,
could then be considered a pattern. But
okay.
You know what? It's not. Generally, what happens is what we call the cycle of violence, which is pretty standard. That it starts slowly. No domestic violence relationship starts with first date and they're calling you names and telling you what to wear. It's not how it goes.
But just because, like, how about suggesting what you should wear? Not telling you, but hey, you know, it would be nice if you wore something less revealing.
Well, that's a suggestion.
Yeah. So, I mean, but so what, when you say telling
someone. But saying
someone,
you're not walking out of the house in that shirt is entirely different.
Well, what if the shirt is like a slit right down the middle and.
Not your choice.
So.
Shut your mouth.
You just got to accept that?
Yeah. Nita, I can't believe you have to put up with this.
No, listen.
I'm kidding. I'm just busting you.
I'm just trying to understand.
I know you're playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, because as a guy, I'm saying, like, no, I really have said that to her before. I won't say you're not walking out the house like that, but I'm like, I think you might, maybe you should change that. That's too much right there. So is
but
that
that's different. That's you and Nita having a discussion, okay? That's the two of you talking about something together.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you saying, you dirty.
Oh, no.
Blah, blah, blah. Get that off. What makes you think you're leaving my house dressed like that? And then threatening her. That's different for her.
Yeah, that is different.
That is completely different. That is different than her coming out of the shower and finding that you've laid her clothes out.
I've done that before, but as a nice gesture.
But not as you've taken.
You have to wear this. No,
right?
No.
It's not
no.
that you've taken the clothes that she had picked out and put them away.
No, I will tell you this. It's some things I don't like. And I'll be like, well, when I do the laundry, they just come up missing. And she asked me, well, where'd it go? I don't know.
Nita, don't let him do the laundry.
Yeah, well,
there
you go.
Problem.
That's how you solve that problem, right? It's not much. And the only reason I'm making it towards me so that it seems real, you know, and these are things that guys go through. And I want to ask you, so you said it has to be a pattern.
A pattern of coercive behaviors.
So, all right. So you have a girlfriend. You've been dating 6 months. You get into an argument. Some kind of exchange happens. The police come. There was some kind of exchange. I don't know. Maybe physical or whatever. If they arrest you, you have to go to those classes.
What classes?
The domestic violence classes, like the assault classes or whatever. I've never been to them, but I heard about them.
They don't really have those in Columbia County anymore?
They don't?
No. You just go to jail now.
Because
the classes don't work.
but it was only one time, so it's not a pattern.
Right, so the classes wouldn't work anyway. You just assaulted someone, go to jail. Both of you
go to jail?
No, you assault someone, you go to jail.
So who?
So the primary aggressor law still comes into play.
Aggressor. So whoever hits first.
Or started it. So say that you're in my face.
Mm-hmm.
hit me. And eventually I hit you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up assaulting me, whatever, you know, because you figure I struck first.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to get arrested because you did the 25 minutes of hit me. Because what we used to see was a pattern where batterers would frequently use that.
Oh, okay.
Well, she actually hit me first. You know?
Oh, but if you're taunting her and all right, I get it.
Right. Or you had her locked. You never laid a hand on her, but you had her locked in a closet for 45 minutes. But then she broke the closet door. So now you're screaming disorderly conduct because she broke your closet door.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah. I can deal with that. I don't know, man. This whole domestic violence thing, it's so important, but it's confusing.
It is. So if it's confusing to us on the air, understand how confusing it is for victims,
mm-hmm.
and for police responding to these calls.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that. Now, a lot of times, let's say there's an incident and no one's touching each other, but the police might come to your house and they might say, okay, sir, can you leave for the night? Can you go somewhere to calm down?
Right.
And that's typical for them to ask the guy to leave. Why should the guy have to leave? Why?
They really shouldn't. They should really do further investigation and figure out who the primary aggressor is.
But let's say nobody touched no one. You know, it's just, you know,
that doesn't mean there's not a primary aggressor. Because one person could be threatening the other. One person could be screaming and carrying on. Or it may not even be a domestic incident at all. It could just be disorderly conduct. It could just be two people acting
But
poorly.
Can you have the disorderly conduct in your home?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Because you can be drunk and disorderly in your home and disturbing the neighbors.
I mean, what if you like in the country and then your neighbors is like 5 miles apart?
Well, then no, because then who would have called the police, Vern?
Her.
For what?
I don't know. I'm just
all right then.
Well. You got to work with me, Rebecca.
Listen, you got to go with the theory that most people don't call the police for random reasons. I mean, there are a few people, but most people don't.
There's situations, and these are far-fetched situations.
Right.
But there's situations where maybe a guy don't come home for 3 days, then he comes home, the girlfriend or the wife is upset, so she's like, all right, get your stuff and go, and his stuff is all cut up, and then he's upset, and then she called the police.
That could happen, yeah.
But she would be the primary because she cut the clothes up, right?
I don't know. Leave it up to the police would have to handle that. I'm not even sure that's a domestic situation.
I thought domestic was anything between you and
listen, you're talking criminal or domestic violence. So
Okay.
So kind of two different lingos.
Well,
you're involving the police, a domestic incident report could be used on a lot of different situations, but they're not all domestic violence as far as our definition.
Okay. But right. The police have a different definition?
Sometimes. It's kind of whatever's happening in an intimate partner situation. Mm. Because that helps them build a pattern. So say the ninth time they're called to that home, they can look up those domestic incident reports and say, listen, dude, you're telling us that this is the first time that you've had any interaction with the police. But we have 9 other domestic incident reports, and this is the fifth woman.
Yeah.
So you're a lying liar, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break because I'm getting it. And a lot of this, I'm just going off the top of my head only because I'm just trying to think of scenarios of things that could have happened, that might have happened, that will happen. But I think the biggest part is, like, you know how they say know your rights? You need to know your rights.
As a victim, you need to know your rights.
Yeah, you do need to know your rights. And you need to know exactly what domestic violence is and what it's all about and how it's perceived. You know? Because a lot of people, I'm sure, really don't realize that domestic violence can be emotional and not just physical.
It can be financial.
How can it be financial?
We're
going to take a break.
Yeah, you're
going to explain to me how me not giving somebody money is domestic violence.
Oh, I will.
All right, we'll be right back. I got Rihanna loyalty. I need some loyalty in my life.
I said I'm deep and I'm fired up. All I want tonight is just get higher. Girl, you look so good, it's to die for. Ooh, that good.
some secret society. All we ask is trust. All we got is love.
Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Kenny them. My resume is real enough for two millenniums. A better way to make a way, start defending them. I meditate and moderate all of my wins again. I'm hanging on the fence again, I'm always on your mind. I put my lyric and my lifeline on the line. And ain't no limit when I might shine, might grind. You rolling with it at the right time, right now.
Only for the dollar sign.
Bad girl,
ripping
now. Swear, leaving now. On your pulse, like a CDM. Gas on the, like a premium. Hard on the, y'all in the fast lane. Been a bad before any cash came, I'm established. Kinda carrots, so my name run the Atlas. I'm a natural, I'm a ray.
I'm a savage, I'm a Lama King. Shimmy a, shimmy a, shimmy a, rah. You can tell you, he can meet me outside. You can babysit him when I leave him outside. Ain't no other love like the one I know. I done been down so long, lost hope. I done came down so hard, I slow. I done sleep forever, all the real won't.
I said I'm geek and I'm fired up. All I want tonight is just get higher.
All I want is, all I want is
loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. 10-4, no switching sides. Feel something wrong. You acting shifty, you don't vibe with me no more. I need loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
Tell me who you're loyal to. Is it money, is it fame, is it weed, is it drink? Is it coming down with the loud pipes in the rain? Big chillin' only for the power in your name. Tell me who you're loyal to. Is it love for the streets when the lights get dark? Is it unconditional when the robbery don't stop? Tell me when your loyalty is coming from the heart.
Tell me who you're loyal to. Do it start with your woman or your man? Do it end with your family and friends? Or your loyalty itself in the fans? I said tell me who you're loyal to. Is it anybody that you would lie for? Anybody you would slide for? Anybody you would die for?
That's what God
I
for.
Said I'm geek and I'm fired up. Blah. All I want tonight is just get high.
All I want is, all I want is
loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. 10-4, no switching sides. Feel something wrong. You acting shifty, you don't buy.
Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to be humble. It's so hard to be another day.
541.
Baby.
You are listening to the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson Acre Catskill, Hudson. I am Big Vern in the building. Shout out to Slade Diddy. We have, what did I call you again? Oh, our domestic violence professional advisor. Something like that.
There you go. Yeah. Slay, I want to tell you I'm still sitting in your seat, and it's really cold over here.
Oh, now you're going to do that.
You know what? It's always cold in Slayville.
Yeah, yeah. This is awful, guys. I feel like I'm being violated because I like it cold, Slay like it hot, and you just added to that.
No, every time that I was here with Slay, and Slay could actually call in and attest to this, I always agreed with him that it was cold in here.
Slay can't call in because he's on hiatus.
I know.
And he'll be back on the 8th. But
I know.
I get it. Now, let's go back. We were talking about
financial abuse. Yes.
How is that possible?
So examples of financial abuse, one partner in the relationship taking the money of the other partner when they get paid. One partner in the relationship controlling all of the finances for the relationship, yet expecting the other partner to pay household bills with an unacceptable amount of money.
All right, I got you. So
you know what I mean?
If the bills are $1,000, but you only have $500,
right?
How can I pay the bills?
Right, and then punishing them because the bills aren't being paid.
Mm-hmm.
One partner in the relationship refusing to pay any of the bills in the household, using their money for their own expenses. Those are examples of financial abuse.
I mean, but taking the money, how can someone take your money?
we've seen cases of it where victims are actually ordered to hand over their paycheck, or, you know, in a lot of cases, one partner in the relationship has left their job when the client and or the partners, the two people have had children together.
Okay.
So one becomes a stay-at-home parent. The other one is still working.
Mm-hmm.
And so one is the moneyed spouse. The other is obviously not moneyed and is financially under the control of the one who is working. And if the relationship was already a domestic violence relationship prior to the child being born, matters do not get better from that point on.
I think I kind of can understand that with the whole, you know, you're the stay-at-home parent and that person relies on you for the money and stuff like that. But I don't understand. I don't see it as abuse. But maybe I'm not seeing things correctly.
If someone's denying you,
denying
the basic needs. And it happens.
If you put it like that,
right here in Columbia and Greene counties, it happens.
Yeah.
Especially where the stay-at-home parent finds that they can't leave the relationship because there's financially no way to do that.
Talk about support systems that you guys have in place for someone that might. Has there ever been a situation where someone has come to you, not you personally, or someone comes to the agency and they told their story and you said, well, that's not domestic violence, but we can help you? I mean, it's on the line. I mean, like, basically, not turn someone away. Has someone ever exaggerated to the point where you said, well, you know, not you, but that's not domestic violence. We can point you in the right direction, but that's not.
We have had situations where maybe someone has been assaulted or been harassed by someone, but it's not domestic violence because it's not an intimate partner or something of that nature. Or it's been a conflict. We've had conflict cases where we've already worked with the other party. And the person that has been reported as the abuser comes into the agency seeking services from our domestic violence program, and we refer them elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we do refer out.
What about support systems? Like, what if someone has, like, they feel like they're, you know, in a domestic violence relationship? Like, where should they call? What should they do? Where should they go?
In Columbia and Greene counties, we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline, and that is 518-943-9211. We do have two shelters, one in Columbia County and one in Greene County. We are able to house 25 men, women, and children at any given time. We also have a transitional apartment building with 4 low-cost apartments in Columbia County and 2 non-residential service offices, one in Columbia County, one in Greene County, and an aftercare coordinator in Columbia County, both counties, actually. I always say Columbia County, in both counties, who works with clients who have left our shelters for a period of 6 months after they exit the shelter.
What's the difference between a domestic violence shelter and a battered woman shelter?
Nothing, except that they should all be called domestic violence shelters at this point because we all accept federal funds, which means that we can't discriminate based on sex.
So,
nor should we.
Is that something that is that happened recently? Because I remember when I lived in Pittsville. They had a homeless shelter and then they had a battered woman shelter and they wouldn't allow men in the shelter.
That's Pittsfield, I believe, is Elizabeth Freeman Center. I don't know about Massachusetts, but I know that for us it's been, I think, Barb, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not going to call in. It's been like 8-10 years that we've accepted men, women, and children, maybe less than that, but... Yeah. I mean, we don't house men in the same bedroom with women.
Of course not. But in the same building?
But in the same building, yes.
Okay.
And we do tell people that on the hotline. We're not dumb. So we do our non-discrimination policy right on the hotline with people. Okay. That we do not discriminate against anyone based on race, color, creed, sex, gender, perceived gender, anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, we open our doors to everyone.
When Trump took office, a little while after, when the budget came out, there was, I don't know if it's rumors or whatever, that he was going to take away money from domestic violence and different programs like that.
The Violence Against Women Act, yeah. Yes.
Can you talk about that? And is it true, or is it just, you know, something out there that they call fake news?
There hasn't been a hard and fast answer on that. So there really isn't an answer on that. I can tell you the VAWA page on the White House page still hasn't been restored.
Mm-hmm. And what is that page?
The Violence Against Women Act page. Okay. That would tell you like the vital statistics. Mm-hmm. Although we have kept our VAWA funding. So apparently that funding has stayed in place. Okay. And Joseph Biden was the father of the Violence Against Women Act.
Okay.
One of the fathers. Yes. So there was a little bit of panic in there. However, you just have faith in what will be, I guess. It's a necessary service in Columbia and Greene counties, and we will stay true to our mission and our goals, and we will keep on keeping on.
Hypothetically, if that funding was taken away, what would be the result?
We would keep providing the service in Columbia and Greene counties, and we would keep on keeping on.
Okay.
And I did ask that question, and that was pretty much the answer that my executive director's answer to me was, Rebecca, don't panic.
Okay.
Okay. Because we have a wonderful board, and Community Action of Greene County is a wonderful agency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a level of transparency. They don't hide anything from the staff. You know, but, and they will tell
That's
us
awesome.
if we need to panic, they'll tell us we need to panic. And the answer is, don't panic. Okay, I won't panic. Just keep doing my job.
So
okay.
What if they said, all right, you need to panic. Then what? What do you?
You know what? I still wouldn't panic, because the bottom line is I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if funding was cut tomorrow, honestly, I could be working as a waitress and still end up doing what I'm doing. It's just okay. The way my life is.
Okay.
So.
No.
It just is. It is who I am. So.
I enjoy that. So next week, you'll be back next week. We'll be back here again.
I think next week we're going to talk a little bit about how much Disney's poisoned us all.
Yeah, I wanted to
Did you like that in that email that I said that? Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure, like, from here on out, like, you kind of give me the topics and the stuff that you want to talk about.
I think next week we should talk about culture.
Yeah.
And particularly, you know, how that kind of happened from the time we were children.
Mm-hmm.
What our expectations of relationships became from the time we were kids.
I'm all for it.
And I really hope that you and Slay and the rest of the crew really continue a discussion about a mentoring program.
If you can get me those numbers, and if you can bring them back next week.
I've got my non-res Columbia County numbers that I need to bring back to you.
Yeah.
And I think that really needs to be a community discussion. We need mentoring. We need safe adults for kids to talk to.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And we need to be teaching kids some resiliency and some skills.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, because it's scary. It's scary.
It is.
I still don't understand domestic violence. It's just that. It's almost like you just say yes, no, okay. That's it. I don't know what to say or what to do.
No, you do.
No, I don't.
But that's because you respect your partner.
Yes,
that's why you don't understand it.
But it's a process, you know. When, like I said, when growing up, you see so much stuff, and you just think that that's just the way to do it. I mean, you really do. So, you know, you do need people that, like, mentors to just say, no, you know, there's better ways to deal with situations and stuff like that.
Yes, because we know that in this community there have been the other kind of mentors.
Yes,
and we need to erase their history, and we need to erase their lessons. So I think that, you know, I think you and Slay are the ones to do it.
We're on board.
Good.
Me, Slay, J-Mac. J-Mac is in.
I know. J-Mac's right in Albany.
Yeah, and she's getting her education on.
I'm pretty sure we can get 18 on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's in for anything.
Yeah.
You owe me a plate of food, 18-wheeler. I believe you were supposed to put together a food truck. Never happened.
Yeah.
There was some talk about plates. I don't even know if I'm even friends with you anymore.
Yeah. Change your name to Linda.
You changed your name to Linda.
Like, who knows?
Defriended me. I don't even know if I like you anymore.
Yeah, she'll have a mouthful for this one. Any last words? We got 7 minutes, and I'll just probably go out with music. So
just remember, Columbia Greene Domestic Violence Hotline, 943-518-943-9211. And check us out on Facebook. Anyone who wants to submit why I stayed, why I left, why I advocate hashtags, You can message them to the either one of the DV Facebook pages, mm-hmm. Columbia Green Domestic Violence or Columbia Green DV. Or you can message them through Vern to me yeah. personally on Facebook, or just find me personally on Facebook. Whatever. Look in Vern's friend list. I'm there.
Yes, she is.
They're all anonymous when they're posted on Facebook. I have to keep everything confidential anyway. That's kind of my jam. And to all 77,000 of you, thanks yeah. for listening.
Can you bring those purple signs next week?
You know what? I am going to bring purple signs next week.
Yeah,
we're
going to
do the purple signs again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And we need 18 here.
Yep, I'll do my best.
Linda.
Yeah, Linda. Linda Jones Jackson.
Linda
Johnson.
We need Linda in the house.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Listen, I just want to remind everybody that we're in the middle of our Harvest Pledge Drive, 518-697-7400 or WGXC.org/donate. It is very important to donate so we continue to have shows like this. These type of outreach shows are special. And, I mean, we've dealt with Rebecca, it had to be a good 4 years, maybe 3 to 4 years.
I think so.
I still have Barb's number plastered up in my job, but I've moved offices 3 times. So that, I'm trying to think, when I first originally called her, I was so nervous because me and Slay were talking and we were just like, hey, you know, we got to tackle all these big topics, but we can't do it by ourselves. We have to get professionals in here, people that work in the field. We have to be able to join and do joint ventures with these agencies and these people. And I was like, all right, I'm on it. So I called Lynn and I said, Lynn, you know, we're looking for someone to deal with domestic violence and talk about the football stuff. She's like, here, take this number, make a call. And from there, I haven't called Barb since.
Well, that's because you said the words football and Barb was like, Rebecca, you got to talk to this Vern guy because I can't do football.
Well, it was important because we just thought we felt like he was being like the, you know, that guy and he ended up being that guy.
Well, he was that guy, but you know what, Josh Brown, we should have talked more about Josh Brown because anyone who has been on our Facebook page, the DV Facebook page, or my personal Facebook page knows that I lost my mind about Josh Brown because Josh Brown was kind of swept under the rug for so long.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're going to say that he's, you know, booted from the NFL. Well, you had his journals where he admitted to the torture he put his wife through almost a year ago. Suddenly you're going to say that you're going to boot him from the NFL. This is not Ray Rice. This is not Ray Rice who you saw assault his wife on a videotape one time. This is Josh Brown who wrote in his journal about how he systematically tortured his wife on purpose for years.
I think it was something in there about throwing her down the stairs.
Absolutely. Strangling her, holding her mouth shut with a pillow while the NFL guards were outside the room so that they wouldn't hear her. It was terrible. And he wrote, I tortured her on purpose.
And you know what?
They sat on it.
And the thing that kind of, like, I was with the cap thing, but the thing that kind of pushed me over, because over the summer, they were saying, you know, they asked the owners of the Giants, you know, would they, ever think about, you know, hiring Cap, and it was like, nope, we talked to the fans and the fans spoke and there's no way they can have that. I'm like, wait a minute. So you mean that all the stuff that we know that Josh Brown did is acceptable? Because he didn't even, I think they suspended him for like 2 weeks or two games.
It was a 6-game, at first it was a 2-game suspension.
Yep.
Then they extended it to a 6-game suspension.
Yep.
And then the Giants released him.
And then they released him.
Which was, I mean, I hated the Giants before that, people, so please don't think that, you know, that this was the be-all, end-all.
No.
But this was just proof to me that the entire organization was just beyond reproach. They're just done. I'm done. Yeah. There's just nothing left of them that I can even be nice about. That was it for me. And then, yes, they made the statement that Kaepernick was was the most horrible person in the league. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and it really touched me. And I was like, you know what?
Are you kidding me?
I'm done with football, man. Because, like, I would have rather the no comment. But, you know, you got all that dirt on your shoulders.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm talking about these journals. If you ever get a chance, like, these journals was in depth. And Rebecca's not exaggerating at all.
No, they're terrible.
They're terrible.
And the Giants,
they knew about it.
And the Giants organization, the King County DA's office, actually sent them via via return receipt to the NFL and the Giants organization. They were signed for.
Yeah.
And then the DA's office released them to the media when the NFL didn't and the Giants didn't. Yeah. So the only reason that we all got to read them is because this district attorney's office did it in, it wasn't even New York State. Maybe it was New York State, Kings County DA.
Yeah.
So it's been a really fascinating case and a disturbing case, to say the least, that Ray Rice, who I'm never going to say was right because he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Was just convicted in the court of media, and Josh Brown was not.
And then you start slicing it down the line and say if that's privilege because Ray Rice is black.
Yes, it was.
You understand what I'm saying?
It absolutely was.
And this is why...
Yeah.
Colin takes a knee. So
you can't even argue that case. It was absolutely privilege. And-